So the things I'm going to share today are major life lessons that have affected my life in huge ways, but in a very positive way. And it's based on some big promises, some big offers that God's made. It always amazes to me how much people are after something free, especially as promised to them. When a restaurant, fast food restaurant, promises a free sandwich, it's amazing how many people will come in to pick that up, and they'll stand in line for 15 minutes or more in order just to get a free sandwich. But the promise that God has made, more than one promise in His Word, are just far beyond a free sandwich, you'll see here pretty quick. 1 John 5 is the big one that has stood out in my mind, and I'll share the process that I've been through that God's been getting my attention over the years. But 1 John 5 is so amazing. I think it's here up on the screen. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we asked of Him. That is huge. That's from the Creator of the universe, who made everything. And this is what He's saying. So I had a lot of questions over the years, and I'm still learning. But I want to share things that God's taught me over the years in relation, especially to this promise. And then as I was looking at you talking, just appreciate seeing Peter right here, Dale's friend. If any of you have a chance to meet Peter afterwards, it's the first time I met Peter from my home country, Ethiopia. He went to school at the same place that my parents worked. I didn't realize that before. And he knows the doctor who delivered me, Dr. Barlow, in Ethiopia in 1955. That's amazing. Yeah, so I look forward to getting to know him a lot more over. And both of us are just reminiscing how God has done so much in that country. So much. Thousands of churches there since my parents were there. It's like the book of Acts. It just, yeah, I'll get carried away talking about that. But I'm glad you could be here, Peter. So let's pray before we jump in here. Father, thank You for the privilege of being Your children, for the privilege of experiencing Your promises, Your commitment to us tiny little people compared to You, but so valuable, so loved in your sight. Thanks for Your Spirit who teaches us. Thanks for Your presence here this morning. And ask You to help all of us to understand more of who You are, more of Your truth, and how we can apply it to our lives. Pray in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, there's a promise in John that got my attention way back in high school. I'm not even going to look at that promise because it's a springboard to some of these other promises. Things that Jesus emphasized at the Last Supper. Because the subject of prayer, Jesus saying, ask me, did not really come up until last night. At least we don't have... He talked about prayer, and he did prayer. He's an example of prayer all of his life. But it was really during the Last Supper that he emphasized with his disciples, ask me. Because he knew he was going to be gone, and he really emphasized this point strong. Like in John 14, 13 to 14, he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son, they knew that was Him, may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. He repeats it twice right there in the same paragraph. In John 15:7, just a little bit later, the same night, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Repeats the promise again. And then a few minutes later, or I don't know how much time later, hour, whatever, John 16, 23 to 24. I tell you the truth. He's emphasizing it. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive. And your joy will be complete. Wow. Really emphasizing that. And that brings us to John, 1 John 5:14 to 15, is written by the same author. John, who heard him say all his other promises, because they're all recorded in the book of John. And then John, years later, writes 1 John and quotes the same verse that I already told you, just saying it in different words, that we can be totally confident when we come to God that He will act on whatever we ask according to His will. That is so amazing that the Creator, the one who's holding everything together, made the whole universe and everything, will take action when I, as just a minuscule little human being, if I ask according to His will, He's going to take action. God will take action when I ask Him according to His will. That is so, so sobering, so amazing. But it's challenging because we can't see Him act. But it's wide open. It doesn't say if I have strong belief, if you're a very mature Christian, if you have walked with me for 10 years, then maybe I'll take action. No, He just says if anyone believes me, if anyone who asks according to my will, I will act. Wow, the newest Christian can cause the Creator to take action. But then we can't see Him, like I was saying. But we have a lot of evidence, but often we don't see the evidence quickly. So that's a discouragement to take Him up on this promise. It's not like asking for $100 and I take out my wallet and hand you $100. That's usually not the way it works. Once in a while I see God answer prayer, but usually not that quickly. And then there's so many ways that He acts. Usually doesn't act in the way I expect Him to act. So that's another discouragement in one sense, or saying, oh, okay, I don't see anything happening, and so I forget about taking Him up on the promise. But there's things in God's Word that helps me know He is acting, and Daniel 10 is one of those. Daniel 10, verse 12 to 14, an angel appeared all of a sudden to Daniel, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding, as soon as you prayed, God took action." I'm paraphrasing. I'm adding that in, reading between the lines. "But since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," that's Daniel's prayer, "and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. I don't know what's going on in the spiritual world, but in this situation, it took 3 weeks from when God sent the angel till he got to Daniel. But he says, I took action, Daniel, as soon as you prayed. Father heard you, and he took action, and I'm here today. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of the Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns the time yet to come." So that's just a little incident in the Bible, but it just reminds me, God takes action, but there's so much going on in the spiritual realm that we often don't see it. When we pray, this timing we expect, how we expect, there's so many factors. But the bottom line is, He will take action. Whenever we come to Him, asking something according to His will, He will take action. So that excites me, and it spurs me on. And in a lot of ways, it really is like a bank making a huge offer. If a bank would say, I will give you $100 when you come into the bank and ask for it, I would go in and ask for it. And if they handed me $100, I would be saying, can I come back in 5 minutes? Can I come back tomorrow? How often can I come in? That'd be my next question. And so that's been my question with God. How often can I do this? Should I be doing it? If you give me $100, I'm going to be coming in and out in 5 minutes and giving it to other people or let them know about it. Because let's take advantage of this. We could do all kind of things with $100 every 5 minutes. Of course, I'd have to take a break from getting $100. So how can we know? How do we take advantage of this opportunity? That's been a big question in my mind over the years. So Paul's example is, let's see. Yes. Paul's example of what he's doing, of what he does. My brain just went off a different direction there. With Paul's example is all kind of factors. We'll be looking at how he prayed, who he prayed for, and how do we know God's will. But in this question right here of how often to be coming to God, look at Paul's example, how often he prayed for people. Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking. And then he goes on explaining what he's asking for. Colossians 1:9, since the day we heard of you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to do such and such. It's like he's saying, since I heard about that offer from the bank, I have not stopped going to the bank. I'm going and going and going to the bank to take him up on this offer. 2 Timothy 1:3, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Wow. Sometimes you can say, I've not stopped. Well, maybe that's once a month. I've not stopped once a month. But this, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:3, night and day, he's praying for them. Interesting. And so as I've thought, since God has a memory and he never forgets, maybe once a year would be good enough to ask according to his will. I'm sure that is. He'll take action once a year. But the Lord's Prayer, Paul's example and the Lord's Prayer have been the biggest influences for me in deciding how often to go to him. Because in the Lord's Prayer, that's a model prayer. The disciples says, teach us to pray. And in the model prayer, one of his phrases is, give us this day our daily bread. Best way I know to understand that, God wants us to trust him every day for our daily bread. And so that's why a lot of Christians are in the habit of thanking him. Every time we sit down for a meal, we'll thank him, we'll pray. In fact, some Christians don't even want to eat unless we pray. It's such a habit. And if I don't have the food, I'll be asking him. He wants me, in my understanding, Jesus wants me to ask him every day for food if I don't have it. Give us this day our daily bread. If I have it, thank you today for this food. Both of them are expressing trust in him. So I've become convinced that on a daily basis is a clear model from Paul and from Jesus. Go to him. Anything that's important according to his will, I'm going to go on a daily basis to ask him for that. And then the question comes up, well, what's according to his will and who do I pray for? There was, you know, this is what's throwing me off here. There's a section on what is his will, and that, okay, sorry. That's a whole page slipped in behind there, and that's what was throwing me off. Sorry to mix you all up here. Back to the issue of how often to come. Yeah, sorry about that. This page has got thrown in here. But it's all in such the same theme that you'll see how it all fits together. Back to that analogy with the bank. You know, if you saw me going to the bank every day to get that $100 bill, you would begin to wondering, Mike, if you didn't know about the offer, why do you go to the bank? Is someone requiring you, demanding? Is there some huge penalty if you don't go to the bank? No, it's this huge offer. Well, you're being pretty legalistic about this. Every day you go to the bank, isn't that pretty legalistic? For me, that's not legalistic. It's taking advantage of an opportunity. But I've been accused about being legalistic because I'm going to God every day about the same thing. Again and again and again. Day after day, year after year. Mike, why do you feel like you need to do that? Well, that's why I'm trying to explain. But from the perspective of going to get $100 bills, I'm not worried about what people think. If they call it legalism or whatever, if that offer's there and I get $100 bills, I'm going to go in all the time. It's just making use of an opportunity. Similar to trusting God for food, thanking Him for food. That's a privilege. I don't feel like it's legalism that I thank God every time before I eat food. I pray for other things every day. I don't feel like that's legalism. So let's go to the other question. What is God's will? When I was young, I thought, well, I'll find out if this is God's will or not. I just pray for whatever I ask. And God did some unusual things, answered prayer in some unusual ways. And if He answers, then I know it's God's will. If He doesn't, then it's not God's will. I still think that way for some things. But other things, it's real clear what God's will is. His word is just so clear. This is what He wants, what His will is. And so back to Paul's example. What do I know what God's will is? Paul, the things that Paul understood to be His will is one way to understand that. And as we study Paul's prayers, the things that Paul prayed for, I don't know of any reference where he prayed for someone's job or even for people to get. He didn't say he always prayed for good health. He always prayed for good income. He prayed for healing at different times. But the things that Paul said he always prayed for in all these sections, I constantly pray, day and night I pray. There's one big summary subject that he always prayed for people. And you can summarize it by saying, to know God better. To know His will, to have better understanding, all kinds of things related to knowing God better. That was Paul's big prayer. And when you look, look at Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. Paul says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. That's a key thing, giving thanks. Paul's a good example there. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. It's more things about God. The riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us to believe. Those are some of the things related to knowing the awesomeness of who God is. Colossians 1, 9 to 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Had I thrown you off, Nate, on the slides? No, somehow you got... Sorry about all that mix-up before. I'm glad you know what you're doing back there. And then God's will, just there's a lot of things in the Old Testament and New Testament to know that God's will is that people know Him. One and is here is Ezekiel 28, 25 to 26. I will show myself holy among them of Israel in the sight of the nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. And in the book of Jeremiah are some great verses where we see that God's desire is that people know Him and know Him as completely as possible. In the New Testament, Jesus, when He prayed at that last night there, He says to His Father, you granted Him, the Son, authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Now this is eternal life. This is what life with God is all about. That they may know you, the only true God. So I have eternal life when I became a Christian. And what is His big desire? Big desire that I would know Him better. And all of eternity, that I would know Him. That's His big heart. That's very clear that that's His will. For people to know Him. And even for non-believers. God's will for the people of the whole world, 1 Timothy 2, 1-3. I urge then, first of all, that's pretty high priority. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving, those are all different forms of prayer, be made for everyone. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So, number one strategy for me, for non-Christians or Christians, pray. Ask God to work. Yes, He does want me to talk to people. He does want me to share the gospel. He does want me to share God's word with children and everyone else. But urge them, first of all, pray. Can I... Can I do better than God at helping my children know Him? That answer is obvious. No. Well, take God up on His offer. Ask Him to do anything according to His will, and He'll do it. Oh, you want my children to know you? Okay, God, today, could you please help my children know you? Done, Mike. He took action. Next day, do I want my children to know you better today? Of course. Okay, Lord, could you please help my children know you again today? Done, Mike. Every day. What, is that legalism? Is that a burden? Well, in one sense, it's a burden because I forget, and sometimes my old desires think, oh, I don't have time. I need to finish this. And that's a whole other story of the battles that I go through to pray. But when I sit down and think about it, it's just so logical, so common sense. Ask Him. Pray according to His will so that He can work. So since 1976, I have prayed for non-Christians that God puts in my life and have seen God answer prayer in a lot of ways. We won't go into the stories, but people, non-Christians, I've seen Him answer prayer in a lot of ways, and that keeps me going on also when you see Him work. And, of course, you've heard how I've been praying about Asia ever since 1993, knowing that it's God's will that every person in the world hear Him. And, yes, I grew up in Ethiopia, and my heart is there. I'd enjoy going back there a lot more. But there's thousands of people coming to Christ, in southern Ethiopia especially. Over there in Asia, most of the world's lost people, people who've never heard are over there. Lord, that doesn't make sense. I didn't have any idea how He could use me, us folks on American campuses, KU, University of Illinois, but that was just on my heart. So I began asking, because He'd been teaching me, ask anything according to His will, and He'll do it. He says, Lord, any way You can use me, You go at it. Lead me, teach me. And every day since 1983, I've been asking, Lord, any way You can use me, do it, to see those people reach there in Asia. And a lot of ups and downs, a lot of stories, but a lot of things happening. That's why I ended up coming just last night. And while I was there, another big setback. We've been praying for a missionary from the Philippines to go over there to share the gospel. A lot of advantages, won't go into that, for them to go compared to Americans. Hey, let's team up together to go over there. And 2 years ago, two families and a single, one of the nights while I was there in the Philippines, plans had changed because of political problems in Cambodia, and they're looking at, there's going to be a massive revolution, November 9, being set up. The government closing borders, closing businesses. Oh, no, we don't want to be here during this war. And so we got tickets for the one family and a single that their parents said, come back home. We don't want you to stay there. It was hard, emotionally and physically, spent 5 hours from 9:15 to 2:45 at night getting their tickets rescheduled because they missed the first flight and had to reschedule it, and I wasn't even on the plane. I'm an American called American. They're Philippines and Cambodians on a Chinese airline. No fun. In the middle of the night to get their tickets worked out. But they're back in the Philippines. We don't know if they'll ever come back. But that's just one of a long series of setbacks. That's the story of my life. Plans have not worked out. But who am I talking to? He is so big, so many ways. So that just motivates me to say, okay, Lord, I am so sad. I'm disappointed about this. Disappointed about the politics, disappointed about decision. But I'm going to keep going to You. I'm just keep going, asking according to Your will. You say every time, I'm praying according to Your will, You're going to take action. And You're the one that wants this world reached more than me. I've been trying to figure out what Your desire is. That's why I'm asking. And You allow this to happen. I'm disappointed. But I'm not going to give up on acting, going to Him, asking Him to keep leading. How do You want it done? How do You want to use me? Our church, our churches? That's up to You. Sooner or later, we're going to have more stories and bigger stories, because the bigger the obstacles, the more amazing it is for what he does. He will take action. He's committed to take action when we pray to him according to his will. Okay, now we're supposed to get into the section of how often to pray. And I've already been doing that. I don't know if Nate has those slides up there or not. Paul's example, Ephesians 1:16, Colossians 1:9, 2 Timothy 1:3, Jesus' model. We've already talked about that. So now we'll go on. Who should we be praying for? Should I be praying for everyone in the world to know him? Well, in one sense, I can. I don't know their names. I could just say, Lord, do something today to help everyone in the world, Lord, know you. Everyone in the world to know you. There's nothing wrong with that. But as the years have gone by, I don't pray that way every day. So who do I pray for? Again, Paul is a good example for us to learn from. Scripture even says he's given here to us for an example. I don't know if Paul had physical children, because we don't have any evidence of him praying for physical children, but we have a lot of evidence of spiritual children he prayed for. In all of his letters, most of his letters at least, he says, I've been praying for you all the time, always praying for his spiritual children. And especially that they would get to know him. Okay, anyone that God uses me to help in some way, I'm going to follow Paul's example. On a daily basis, I'm going to ask God to help them know him better. And so people that I've led to Christ from back in the late 70s until now, I'm still, all of them I don't pray daily for, but weekly for the ones that I have led to Christ, asking God to work in their life. And people, a lot of you that I'm personally involved with, I'm asking God on a daily basis, help them get to know you better, because he can do a lot better work than I can in your life or anyone's life. And then also, as a parent, I know that God holds me responsible. It's not like, oh, it's a burden, but it's an opportunity to have a special privilege to invest in children that God gives me. Like 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, in the context there he's talking about finances and food, meeting physical needs, he says, that person has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever if they don't provide for their family. So it's so clear from other passages too that God wants parents to be providers for the family. Well, I'm convinced that their spiritual needs are even more important than physical needs. So personally, I'm convinced if I'm not providing for my family spiritually, I'm worse than a non-believer. How can I provide for my family? I'm so weak in so many ways. What about prayer, Mike? Oh, yeah, that's right. Anything I ask, according to your will, you're going to take action. Okay, Lord. My number one strategy for raising kids is to pray for them. Seriously, that is my number one strategy for raising our children. So every day, for most of their lives, I've been asking God the basic prayer request, along with some other things, but that's the number one thing I pray. Lord, help them know you better today. And he works. There's no guarantee, because people have a free will. So there's no guarantee that they're going to be Christians. There's no guarantee how they're going to be following him, but there is a guarantee God will do something in their lives. I'm convinced the more he does, the chances increase that they're going to respond. They're going to give in. They're going to learn. And so we thank him that all of our children are walking with the Lord, and they've told me a number of times, I really want to know God better. I really want to know him. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're answering prayer. You're working in their lives. And of course, in the Old Testament, New Testament, we see the same thing, that parents are responsible for children. And the same is true for my wife. I am responsible to serve and help my wife. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So my number one plan of how I can do that is ask God every day to help her know him better. That's the foundation of life. The more she knows him, the more that's going to affect everything else. Okay. Also, who to pray for? Back to 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And he lists, for kings and all those in authority. Why? So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, and so that men will be saved and to come to knowledge of truth. So that's become part of my daily habit of prayer. Political leaders, church leaders, employment leaders, school leaders, any leaders in my life, they're going to get prayed for. And for them, it's not always just to get to know you for salvation, but from other examples, for political leaders, I ask God to work in their lives to help them see their need of him and to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, which is the Holy Spirit's work. So I know that's the will of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. And also that they'll uphold righteousness and God's righteousness and wisdom, whether or not they're believers, but help them at least uphold your righteousness and wisdom. Well, personal application. How am I applying all this on a practical basis? I'm making it a point, like I've said before, to pray for these people on a daily basis, taking God at his offer that he will act every time. When I pray according to his will, he will act. So daily, I am asking God to help these people to know him better, meditate on his word, grow in believing prayer, grow in love and unity, and grow in understanding what he wants to do in their lives, in their city and in the world. I ask that for my wife, children and their spouses, co-leaders in the church, mention them by name also, small group leaders, mention them by name, all the members of Cornerstone. I don't mention all of you by name, but I'll just say, you know, and as I pray for all the others, I'll add on, and everyone else in Cornerstone. Since I'm pastor and responsible for you, I pray for you, if not by name, by general, on a daily basis. And Great Commission leaders, they're leaders in my life. I name them on a daily basis. Regional leader. And then all Philippine pastors who have asked me to mentor them. They personally asked me to mentor them. That's an opportunity God's given, like spiritual children, even though I didn't see them saved. They're people that God has given me opportunity to help, and so I put them in that category of spiritual children. I want to help. My number one strategy to help them is for God to do it. Lord, you help them know you. The number one thing that needs to happen in their lives is for them to know God better. And the best one to do that is God himself. Okay, that's my strategy. Every day, I will ask him to help them know him better. And it started off with one, 1990. God, help them know better. Help me know better. Two, three. And now, I don't even know the number. A few more got out of the list on this last trip. And so there might be 40, 50 names that I'm just naming off, because the way I pray is, Lord, thank you for what you've done in these Philippine leaders. Thank you for Zaldi and Jim. And then just go down the list and say, all these people that I mentioned, Lord, help them get to know you better. And, you know, those five areas that I just mentioned. And go on to the others. Because Paul says, one place, I make mention of you in my prayers. So I think he's talking my name. I don't know. It's no big deal to me. It's not a whole lot of time difference to say their names or not to say their names. But that's just letting you know my personal convictions, what I've come to. And so also the following leaders, I ask God to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, bring them to himself, and uphold God's righteousness and wisdom. Like I said, the president and vice president, the U.S. Supreme Court, I don't name them by name, but I just said everyone in the U.S. Supreme Court, everyone in the U.S. Congress, which includes the Senate and the House, the state governor and the state legislator, I name the governor by name, and the city mayor by name of Lee Summit, and the city council, do all these things in the Lord. Thanks, Lord, for giving them leadership in my life, and do these things in their lives. And also the following people, I ask you to do whatever you, is needed to bring them to yourself. My neighbors, I mention them by name. Non-Christians, any Christians that I know they're Christians. And any other non-Christians that God has put me with that I have a relationship, I pray for them on a daily basis. My life plan, like I've told you, with 1983, he's adjusted how I think about it. When he adjusts my understanding, I adjust my prayer. But in general, since 83, I've been saying, Lord, use me, my family, and our church, association of churches, to reach the lost of the world, especially the unreached in Asia. Use me to multiply disciples and churches in those places. And our church. Besides people asking God to help you know him better, Lord, spiritual children. We want spiritual children. And our understanding, that's your plan. Lead us in how that can happen. That's why we have our 12-12 prayer time too. Have spiritual children an opportunity to train disciples. So how do I remember to do this? Well, that's been a learning process also. Easy way for me to do it is to piggyback on another habit in my life. And add on, like when I go running or jogging, I have a lengthy time. I'm not a real fast runner, so 15 minutes. Most of these things I can pray about in 15 minutes if I don't get distracted. And so I pray. That's a common prayer time. But then when I don't run and forget, Holy Spirit, please remind me. And I've learned that he'll remind me, but also I'll shut him out because I need to do something else, and then I'll forget during the day. But I've learned when he reminds me, make it a priority. Like Paul says, I urge you then, first of all, to pray for him, especially passages I'll get to that in a minute. But overall, I'll wrap up by saying that it's a privilege, it's a huge opportunity. In one sense, it's a job, but it's like the job that's described in Isaiah 62, 6 to 7, where God says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. Again, there we have it again, daily basis. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem, or I put in his church, and makes her the praise of the earth. That's motivational to me. To be a watchman on the wall. It's a privilege. It's a huge opportunity to see God work. Other passages you could look at. But another one that's really motivated me is Psalm 127, 1 to 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, the workers work in vain. I don't want that to happen to me. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. And so he can do that. Prayer is my number one strategy. So he can build a house. So he can build a church. So he can build my family. We're not going to share any more stories right now, but I think you have an idea of how my life has been changed by this promise on a daily basis because of things that God's promised here in his word. Let's pray. Lord, you give us such privileges to be your children. That's an amazing privilege in itself. But then to have the privilege of coming to you and you acting when we pray according to your will is so amazing. The awesome creator that you are, respond to us little people when we take you up on your promise to act when we pray according to your will. Thanks, Lord. And I know we're all on journeys. My understanding is not perfect. I'm learning. We're all learning. But help each one of us to know what part of what we've looked at would be good. Maybe for people, there wouldn't be anything that they'd do differently from what we shared today. Lord, you know that. You teach each one whatever would be good for them to apply for their situation so they can be a part of what you are eager to do, what you've committed yourself to do through us as your children. Help us continue to grow and take you up on such amazing promises. Thanks in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.